Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and of course, you know I'm going to say we have another great show for you today. We really do. Today's guest will be talking to us about mental training, not only for our junior athletes, but also for us as parents. Our guests are Dr. Bob Neff, who is a sports psychologist, and his wife, Tammy, who works with him in their company, Mental Training Services. And these guys are the parents of two kids. They have a son who is about 16 and a half, and they have a daughter, 13. And so they really know whereof they speak. They're coming at this from personal experience and have a lot of great information to share with us. I want to remind you that the show airs live for 60 minutes, and at the end of the 60 minutes, we'll go into recording mode for the podcast, and the podcast will be available later today on parentingaces.com under our radio show tab and always on Blog Talk Radio as well. And so I encourage you, if we go beyond the hour, to please tune in to the podcast and catch the end of the show. I'm looking forward to today's show for a lot of reasons. One, I think it's really important for us as parents to understand the mental side of competitive sports with our children. And two, I love that the Neffs have a focus and an educational program for us, for the parents, because I think for a lot of us, especially those who didn't grow up playing competitive sports, we really don't understand what our kids are going through on a day-to-day basis. And for our kids that are getting into their teen years, we have a lot of challenges to deal with beyond just the normal day-to-day stuff that we dealt with when they were 8, 9, 10 years old. So the more tools we can have at our disposal, the better. So without further ado, I want to welcome Dr. Bob Neff and Tammy Neff to the show. Guys, thank you for being on today.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
I'm really excited to hear more about kind of how you decided to come up with your mental training program for the kids, but also for the parents. So, Bob, I'm going to ask you first. I know you were an athlete growing up, and I think, if I remember correctly, you were sidelined with an injury, but chose to pursue this whole idea of mental training in sports. And maybe you can talk to us a little bit about how you came to that and how you developed your specific method.
Sure. I actually grew up playing junior tennis in Ontario, Canada. And really, I think the first time that I was ever exposed to anything related to mental toughness was with the Timothy Galloway book. And that's kind of like a one of those iconic books now that people still talk about. And then Jim Lehrer came out with his mental toughness training for sports, I guess is what it was called. And so those are the first two exposures, but really there was nothing else, very little else that was in the realm of something that a teenager could understand. And so as I was competing, there were so many things that were happening where I would be performing really well in practice matches and so on. I would get into a tournament and my best wouldn't show up. And it was quite consistent early on. And it was because of what I was saying and doing to myself that was reducing my performance. And I didn't know, I didn't have any idea, what should you be thinking? what kinds of emotions are helpful. I just didn't know. And my parents definitely didn't know. And I'll give you just one quick example, and that is my dad, who, by the way, we have a fantastic relationship now, but at that time I was 15 years old, and I had just finished playing a tournament. I lost in the finals, and it was a very close match. I lost 6-6, and to a kid who was probably better than me anyway. So I thought I performed very well. I was very proud of myself. And after the match, my dad just came down on me, you know, just a ton of bricks about how could I be so stupid to keep doing the same strategy over and over. And, you know, it was the right strategy for me, the way that I played. I'm a big guy. I'm a serving volleyer. This guy was hitting passing shots. He's a small guy. I'm not going to beat him from the baseline, you know, kind of thing. So, and I remember that, you know, for an hour and a half on the ride home, he just didn't let up. He was relentless. And so I ended up quitting tennis about a week after that. And I started playing football. I mean, you know, something that he wouldn't be able to be as involved in. So I tell you that immediately because that's my big motivation now, to make sure that parents have some really good information about how to be the best, you know, sport parent possible.
Well, and your story breaks my heart. And I mean, I think any of us parents that are hearing it can probably relate, whether we've done it ourselves or we've witnessed other parents, you know, coming down hard on their kids after a loss. For me, and I've written about this on Parenting Aces, a lot of times as the parent, you know, we, and Tammy, you can chime in on this too, because I know you've been there, done that as well. We give up a lot in the name of our kids' athletic development. We're shuttling them to practices. We're giving up weekends to be at games or tournaments or competitions of some sort. We're spending a lot of money. You know, our family dynamic is totally impacted by our children's sports scheduling and costs. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes it's hard to separate that feeling of, my gosh, I've given you so much. I've given you every resource you need. I've given up my own, you know, free time, my own luxuries in order to provide for you so you can be the best you can be. What the heck is going on? You know, that you're
right.
Not.
Right. But to add to the complexity of that, oftentimes, and as was the case with Bob and his dad, all of what you just said is so absolutely true, and it's far more of an investment than parents really ever realize when they step into the sport arena with their child. But when you add on top of all the expense and the travel and the dedication and the sacrifice, if that parent happened to be in the same sport when they were a kid, or if they play the same sport as an adult, that throws in a lot of confusion with that as well, because the parent in that spot doesn't know really how to stop. They don't know how not to coach.
Right.
They don't know where to draw the line, and so that muddies the water quite a bit. So, you know, Bob's dad was a tennis player and is a phenomenal athlete and has his own strategies and his own ideas about what's right and what's wrong. And so when you can speak the language and when you can play or when you can even coach, that's a lot of parents don't have any guidelines whatsoever on how to step out of it and know where to draw the line to not damage their relationship with their kids and or the coaches. What does that look like? And so that was another part of the motivation to build the parent mental trainer, was to help give guidelines to parents like myself that did not come from a sport background. How do I support? But then you also have Bob, who does have an athletic background. How do you know the lines? So,
yeah, that's an excellent point. And I, you know, I find myself, you know, saying things in fits of frustration that, you know, immediately I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And even now, having been involved with Parenting Aces for over 2 years and having talked to lots of really, really wise people about being a sports parent, I still find myself saying the wrong thing sometimes. And it's, you know, I don't think I'm alone. I think there are a lot of parents that don't want to talk about this because it's too painful. But I think most of us that are parenting athletes or any child who's striving to achieve a high level in something in life, whether it's the arts or, you know, or sports or school, I think we all find ourselves in that situation of, you know, why are you not able to put this all together and mm-hmm. reach that brass ring? What's missing? And a lot of times, I guess, what's missing is us and the way we're approaching things.
For sure.
So talk specifically, if you will, about your approach and what makes it different, because I have had other sports psychologists come on the show and I've interviewed, you know, several different people and I learn from each and every person. So, you know, for me, I love getting new information and new perspectives. I would love to hear yours.
Sure. I'll give it a shot. One of the things that I realized after I was, after I came out of my PhD program, and was kind of, okay, I'm ready to go, you know, and I'm going to start training athletes, that there was just about no market for or market of mental trainers out there. There was just such a focus on the research part, and there was no connection between that research and how practitioners, coaches, athletes, parents, or psychologists could really be, you know, using that information. And so that's what I've been doing ever since 1997. I've been taking the fantastic research that's there and reworking it into forms that coaches, athletes, and parents can understand and can actually use. And that's actually our mission for 2014, was to... And I noticed that Tammy, I guess, is off. I just want to make sure that I'm still on.
You are on, and I don't know why she dropped off, but hopefully she'll call right back in.
Yeah,
but yes.
She'll back right in. Good.
Okay, you're good.
So our mission for 2014 is just to, you know, to simplify it even further and to make this something where, you know, there's no confusion. Here's one thing that happens when I speak to large groups of coaches and athletes and sometimes parents. I'll ask them to start off with, you know, raise your hand if you believe that mental toughness is critical for your future success. And all the hands go up. And then I say, okay, keep your hands up if you have trained mentally over the last week. How about over the last month, you know, over the last year? And all the hands, you know, go down. And so I'm like, hey, you know, what just happened there? Everyone says that it's important, that it's not just important, it's critical, but nobody's really doing any mental training. And so finally, you know, there's somebody who raises their hand and says, I don't know what to do. I don't know
right.
what mental training even means. And so then I can easily say, well, that's why I'm here today. And I've just collected everybody's interest. And then I go about, you know, simplifying and explaining that mental toughness is really, there's really two parts to it, and it, so it's not real complicated the way that we talk about it, and then there's some skills that you can learn in order to be able to build that mental toughness.
And Tammy, you're back on, yes?
Yes, hello.
Okay, good. Okay, just making sure that was you. so Bob, you do feel that mental toughness is a skill to be taught and learned.
Absolutely, 100%. And that was my experience as an athlete, because after I quit tennis as a teenager, I ended up coming back to it in college and then eventually had about a four-year pro career. So, you know, I found tennis again under kind of my own terms. And what I found only toward the end of my career before I had a kidney failure and then was out, lost my sponsors and so on, and that was kind of the end of it, so I went back to school. But what I found right toward the end of it was I found out what I was looking for. I found the skills that I could practice away from the courts as well as on the courts that would help me once I got into competition in order to, for me, it was anger and frustration. So I was able to control my anger and frustration, actually make it go away, and it opened up this kind of freedom for me to be able to play the way that I knew I could play.
And when you discovered that, was it a relief? I mean, I've never competed at that level, and this is something that, you know, my son likes to remind me of on a regular basis. but I did grow up playing junior tennis, and I grew up playing tournaments at a local level, and, you know, I competed a bit, but I'm a much better competitor now at age 50 than I was at age 15. But I just wonder, you know, when you grow up competing with that stress of knowing that anger could show up and, you know, pardon my language, but screw you out of a win on a moment's notice, and to feel like you have no control over that, and then to eventually come to the realization that there is something you can do about it, what does that feel like to you as an athlete?
Ironically, it was quite emotional. It wasn't the same kind of emotion as anger and nervousness, because I still had anxiety, nervousness issues as well, because I didn't really know what was going to happen from one match to the next. But it was very emotional and very exciting too, because it was something that I could replicate. I could do it every time I went out. There was a sequence of things that I could go through in my mind, and I might not play, you know, I might not win every match. I might not play my very best, but I knew that if those things happened and I had lost a match, for example, it wasn't because of my mind. and I knew that in the past, most all of my losses were because of what I did to myself. My performance went down and I ended up underperforming. So it was a relief, yes, but it was also extremely exciting to have control over something that I just didn't have control over before.
And how old were you when that happened?
So zone experiences happened to me randomly throughout my career. And that was almost like, you know, dangling the carrot out there, but you don't know how to actually get it. I had no idea what I was doing in order to produce a zone experience. And it wasn't always just because I was a lot better than the opponent and I just played great. Sometimes I played fantastic, you know, playing against people who were right at my level or above my level. But it was very random, sporadic, and as a result, very frustrating, because, you know, when you realize, wow, I've made it, you know, I'm playing at that level, and then the next match, you're right back to the old thing again, and you know, so I was probably 27, maybe when I got to the point where I really had a handle on it and knew what I was doing, and so that's my big motivation now, is to give what I've learned through not just through my education, but through my experience, and give that to kids that are 12, 13, 14 years old, so they don't have to go through what I went through.
Well, you know, what I find interesting, and Tammy, maybe you can speak to this too, is, I mean, there are kids that seem to get that just on their own. They come to the court, they're focused, they have control over their emotions while they're playing, and they come off the court, and win or lose, they, you know, just move on to the next match. And then there are kids like mine who are a little more fiery, who really have to work hard to avoid confrontation on the tennis court or conflict or losing control. I mean, it takes a conscious effort to get through a match and feel in control emotionally the whole time, which I can imagine really doesn't feel like you're in control if you're having to work that hard at it. You know, and then, you know, may take a half an hour, an hour after a match to let off the steam and before they're ready to move on. So, you know, what I guess my question is, Tammy, to you as a mom, have you had that experience with either of your kids? And, you know, where do your kids fall on the spectrum of that, and how do you handle it?
Yeah, it's all great, great, great question. You know, part of the developing of the mental training program for the juniors is you'll hear us say the word awareness or recognition again and again and again. And part of for a kid and even for an adult, but since we work primarily with kids, is recognizing what kind of personality you have. Where is your recognizing, are you a laid-back individual? Are you a cool, calm, and collected under pressure? Or are you a firecracker? Where is your comfortable, where is your middle range where you always rest? Where is that? So you have to know, and the kids can be taught, how do you, if you're laid back and pretty easygoing, how do you get yourself revved up? How do you bring your level of emotion or intensity or the word of arousal? How do you bring it up to be able to compete at a high level? Whereas if you are a pretty animated, dynamic personality, how do you calm yourself down? Where is your sweet spot? And so part of that is teaching these kids how to recognize their own natural state and where their state needs to be to perform their best. And that's part of the beauty of what Bob has created, to teach these kids the awareness of that. And that's powerful. If you understand yourself and know where you can tweak it to be a little bit better and a little sweeter, that's just a beautiful thing. You know, our son is pretty easygoing. It's a pretty, it's an interesting mix of personality. Because he's very, looking outside, looking in, he's very laid back, not much ruffles him. But under the surface, I think it's probably a lot of frustration because he hasn't figured out what he has to do yet to bring up his level, right? So it's his own personal responsibility of knowing what he has to do to get where he wants to be.
Right. And as a parent, and for y'all, I can imagine, holy cow, you've got the information right there. And, you know, how do you resist the urge to just force feed it to him, you know, rather than letting him come to it on his own?
That's an interesting challenge that we find ourselves in, because you're right. I mean, as soon as he wants it, every bit of information that he wants is at his fingertips. All he has to do is ask for it. And, you know, Bob is phenomenal with him. He's very wise and knows how to work with teenagers. He's brilliant at working with teens and to help them come to their own decisions, help empower them to make their own decisions and make them understand that it's not being wrong. It's, oh, that's how to make it better. So that's it's a subtlety in how he deals and how he works with these with kids, specifically our own. That it's not about being wrong or being not good enough. It's if this is where you know you are, as soon as you want to be different or better, here's, you know, say the word and we're going to go. So he's never coached our kids. He's never, well, unless they ask, I guess you are coaching tennis now somewhat on the side, but he's made a very strong decision early on to not step into that coach mode for fear of overstepping his bounds. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is how to not step into the coach mode, because he's such a good coach, Bob is. He's such a great athlete that he knows the best way to go about and do things. And when he sees other coaches that aren't doing what he thinks should be done, it's very frustrating for him. So it's better for him to step out of it than let someone else take the reins and coach the kids. So it's a definite challenge to walk that line.
Yeah, that's a whole other level right there is the coaching side. And, you know, I'm one of those parents that knows just enough to be dangerous. And I would never in years, you know, assume the role of coach. But again, you know, having been involved with Parenting Aces for 2 years, I've met some pretty incredible coaches. And I've met some pretty mediocre coaches too. And I've now, you know, I now know how to see the difference. And like you said, you know, it's difficult to just step completely away and not interfere. And my son actually explicitly said to me, Mom, I don't want you to be friends with my coach. I want to handle the relationship with my coach. And if I have an issue that I need help with, I'll come to you. But otherwise, the communication is between me and the coach. And
well,
I think I've done an okay job respecting that. My son's 17 and a half, actually. And so it's time, right? You know, he's got one more year at home, and it's time for that. But I feel your pain, Bob.
Yeah, actually, I can just comment on one thing there, too, that the only coaching, if you'll call it that, that I do with my son is that when we go out and hit balls, we usually do drills. And I ask him, okay, so, you know, what do you want to work on? So I'm not directing the practice, if you will. And so he says, yeah, I want to work on approach shots and volleys. So I say, great, I have an excellent drill in that. I coached for 10 years, while I was finishing my PhD. So, I'm a certified coach, and I know I'm good as well. And so, I come up with these drills, and he's like, he's always surprised too. He's always like, yeah, but you're my dad. How could you know this drill? And,
right.
And he knows that I coach and everything, but he doesn't really have that respect there. And that's fine. That's what I want. I mean, that's what I expect. And that's why we have actually one of my best friends through my coaching experience is my son's coach. And he's in charge completely of all the technical things and tactical things. And he and I speak, we're on the same page. So when we go out to hit, we just are supporting my son's coach, really.
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm dying to hear about the work you do with parents. And, I don't know how comfortable you are sharing specific stories, keeping the names out of it, of course. But if you have any tennis parents that you've worked with, maybe you can talk a little bit about the specific issues that they come in with and how you're able to help with that.
Well, I guess I'll take this, Tammy, for now, and that I've worked with hundreds of sports parents, maybe even 1,000. I don't know. I mean, it's been so many of them. And one of the things that is pretty consistent is that the parents bring in their child, and no matter what the age is, the child, it's not their idea, not normally, their idea to come work with a mental trainer. And so they kind of come in kicking and screaming, if you will. I mean, not really, but,
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And so the very first things that we have to do when we're first meeting each other is to kind of put down, get the guards down. And so we start out by saying, now, you are a normal kid, but you have big aspirations and you want to be exceptional. And so that's where we start off with, which is we don't work with people's disorders. If somebody has a psychological disorder, a sleep disorder, whatever, there's a specialist for that. We're performance specialists. We want to get you to perform at best more often, especially when it matters a lot. We want you to want the best to come out. And so, but that's the biggest reason why the kid doesn't want to come in, and that is because they know that they're not crazy, that they're not broken mentally, that they're just normal, and they want their parents to acknowledge that. And so once we hit that, then the barriers go down, and usually the interactions go very nicely after that. And there was one question that you brought up just a second ago, Lisa, that had to do with, some kids just seem to just kind of cruise along and be under control of their emotions and things. And that very often happens kind of through trial and error and when they're a little bit younger. And then as they grow and as their competition gets tougher and hormones come in, then if they don't have any actual skills in order to help them get through that, then they're going to be in trouble. And so some athletes make it through. I figure probably about 1 in 1,000 maybe actually through trial and error, they end up becoming mentally tough. And all the other ones, who knows what happens to them. And so that's the group that we're looking for. We're looking for the other 999 people who are, who are falling off the wagon because they don't have the skills, and we want to try to give them those skills.
Well, I mean, we even see that on the professional tour, on the men's and the women's side. And, we're just starting the Australian Open, and I want to just let my listeners know that I love y'all so much that I have torn myself away from the Tennis Channel to do today's show because it is my addiction. But, I mean, it blows my mind when I'm watching professional tennis and see those you know, players who just completely lose control on the court. And it breaks my heart, but it boggles me that in today's, you know, kind of normal, that these players aren't working with people like you to get it under control. I mean, there's so much money on the line.
Yeah, there is. There is a lot of money on the line. And it really stems back to this idea that, you know, only people who are broken and have a real psychological problem are going to go work with a mental trainer. And it's just an old school way of thinking. It's like you're only going to go work with a fitness trainer if you have some kind of an injury. But that's just not the case. I mean, you know, we have a team approach now. And so when, once athletes and parents really get that clear that yeah, their kid is normal and you're going to work on skills, just like physical skills, you're going to work on mental skills and you're going to develop toughness, physical toughness and now mental toughness. And then once you get into adversity, which it's coming, you know, that's what competition is adversity. And once it comes, you're going to have the skills necessary.
Right.
You know, it's interesting that there is absolutely a shift happening in awareness about the importance of the mental game. And if you, I know you know this number, Bob, but the number of, I would say the majority of Olympic level and high level professional on individual sports, specifically like golf and tennis, I would say the majority have access to a mental trainer.
They
understand that at the highest level, that's all that separates the competition is the mental skills, because on the actual physical ability, it's pretty level. It's pretty even. So the secret weapon is the mental skills. So for, you know, we know that that's coming from the top down, that these teenagers that can, and now they have access to it through the programs we've put in place, they can have access to the very same mental skills and training that the Olympic athletes have access to. They have it. They can have it if they want it. So it's very exciting for us to know that we've developed these programs that make it affordable, make it customized to what exactly what the athletes need. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, I'm like you. I, you know, feel like I have all of these resources at my fingertips now available to my son. And like you have said, you know, when you want them, they're here. We support you. But you have to ask. And periodically he asks and he receives. And then, you know, we go back to the drawing board for a little while. But and I think that's, you know, again, getting back to the parental side of things, I think that's one of the harder aspects, at least for me, with a teenager, is keeping in mind, okay, he's a kid, he's going through stuff that I can't even imagine because he does go to regular public school and he's got issues there and he's got social challenges that he has to deal with, and then he's got the physical challenges of his tennis and the mental challenges of his tennis. So there's a lot going on, and I think for a lot of us, it's difficult to keep in mind they are children. Even though they may not look like children anymore as they get into their upper teen years, they still mentally are children.
Mm-hmm. You know, you brought up going back to the parents as well. There was a recent conversation that Bob was sharing with me that he had with a couple of dads that are friends of ours, and both of these men are super competitive. They're both former athletes, and they both have kids that are teenagers, and they're really pretty tough on their boys. You know, that's the part of it is being a dad, and part of it is wanting them to compete and be tough and suck it up and all this different language you hear parents have, the language that they use. And he was, you know, Bob, you can step in here and take over on the story, but it amazed me how clear it was that these two men, in just hearing a little bit, that there was an actual course they can take. It takes about an hour and a half long to take. That's an assessment to analyze yourself. Where do you stand on this scale? How are you as a parent of an athlete? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? What does it look like? What, and take a look in the mirror, basically, analyze yourself and then take this course to know how to do it better. Both of these men got so uncomfortable squirming. Were they not? I mean, really did not want to hear this. They changed the subject. I mean, go on. It blew my mind.
Yeah, at first they did. Here's the situation. We were playing pool, billiards, and my son and I were playing against this my friend, this dad, and his son, who's the same age as my son. So, you know, equal, right? And so we're playing against each other, and my friend's son was really performing badly. And yet yesterday he was performing great. I mean, he was playing great. And his dad kept saying, come on, play like you were playing yesterday, you know, and you could feel the pressure and stress that this kid had. And so then we ended up beating them quite easily. And then we switched teams. And I went with my friend, and the two teenagers competed against us. And they played awesome. And this other kid played awesome, because the father couldn't say all of those things. There was no more pressure anymore. And I made that pretty clear to my friend that, hey, there are some things that are going on that are, you know, I know you're trying to help, but you're not. And, you know, he's 16 now. You need to, you know, step away. And then that's where the course came up. And so, yeah, there was some uncomfortableness at first, because there's a question of, you know, are you challenging me as a parent? Are you saying I'm not a good parent? No,
right.
We're not saying that. We're saying there are some skills that can help you to become a great sport parent. And that's a very big difference.
It is.
It's amazing that so many parents, they want to do the right thing. It's so important that they're phenomenal parents, and they do provide for their kids, and they set them up, and they sacrifice and do all these things. But the moment there's such, and I for lack of a better word, it's ego that's involved, that they can't even imagine that they might be part of the problem. It's never occurred to them that they've never looked at themselves. And even though we'll take parenting courses and we'll read books on parenting and we'll read books on, you know, child behavior and how to be better and so on, it never occurs to parents so much at a time that there's actually a way to learn how to be a better supportive parent on the sports side. How do you do that? And so it was really, and I think that having that ego exposed like that was eye-opening for me to know that that's something we have to take on, to make sure parents, we're not pointing at, they were saying that you're wrong. That has nothing to do with it. There's no right or wrong. There's, can I be better? How can I be better? Right? It's always being a student. So I'll stop with that.
Well, I mean, that's a really important point. And I know I said I wasn't going to talk about that HBO show, Trophy Kids, but I have to bring it up just in this context. Because, and I know you guys haven't had the opportunity to see it yet, so I won't talk about detail, but after the show aired, I wrote a piece on it for my website, for Parenting Aces, and one of the things I wrote was that, you know, even though watching the show, you look at these parents and you think, oh my God, they're insane, they're crazy, you know, they need to be taken out back and, you know, hit upside the head. My perspective is they're doing the best they know how to do. We're all doing the best we know how to do. And for us to judge each other out there doesn't help anybody. And the only way that we're going to get better collectively is if we support one another in our efforts to attempt to get better, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're all so quick to judge and look at that other parent who, you know, is sitting there with their arms crossed and a scowl on their face, but we have no idea what went on behind their four walls that led them to that place. Maybe it has nothing at all to do with their kid performing today. Maybe they had a fight with their spouse, or maybe they had a rough day at work, you know, but we're so quick to judge when we're observing, and rather than judging, if we can learn how to, you know, support each other and say, oh my gosh, it's so hard, it's so hard, and you know, there are resources out there. You know, have you taken a look at mentaltraining.com to see what's available to you? You know, there's some great resources out there. And
hey, let me just jump in and just say, just since you brought up the website, it's mentaltraininginc.com.
Sorry.
That's okay. I didn't want people going to mentaltraining.com because I don't even think anybody, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But mentaltraininginc.com is our company. So, yeah, there's definitely resources there, some for free, some for fee. And but we are mostly really interested in giving parents tools through skills and through information that will enable them to be able to understand. I mean, it's back to that awareness thing that Tammy was saying earlier, but they can become aware of how they're influencing their kids in a positive way and a negative way, and then make little tweaks and little modifications that end up improving the communication and the relationship, which then blossoms into all kinds of positive things.
Sure. Tammy, let me interrupt a second. I was just going to mention there will be a link to your website on our links page, parentingaces.com, on the links tab. So it will be the proper link. I apologize again. But Tammy, go ahead.
Well, I was going to extend upon what Bob was saying, that in the parent mental trainer, it has the assessment it's a gentle one. It's not a harsh one. It's just a one that kind of gives you on a sliding scale, where do you stand? Where are you doing well, and where can you improve, and so on. But then it goes through and gives really good examples of what it looks like and the importance of your role as a parent. It's much bigger than you realize, and it has a much bigger impact on your child's athletic development.
And it also changes, too.
Exactly. It does change. And so, the way you support them after a bad game, the way you cheer during an exciting time, and the way you talk about the coach, it's all of these things that they watch everything. Our kids, they see everything. And so there was through the Institute of Youth Sport, I guess, in Michigan State, one of the studies that they came back with in their research, this is a pretty big number. It's very, very eye-opening for me. In going through this again last night, was that 60% of parents, they exhibit a positive impact on their kids and the coaches, which is fantastic. But on the other side of that, that means 40% of us, 40% create negative issues for the coach and for their athlete. That's a big number. And so it's, the majority of it's not intended, they're oftentimes minor. But, in some cases, the parents, they do demean, they overtrain their kids, and they unintentionally abuse their kids in the name of winning a game. And so it's understanding and the awareness of the subtleties, the little things that are said and done that they don't even know they're doing, that once they go, oh, my gosh, I think I'm doing that. Oh, there's an epiphany. Oh, there's something I can have power. Go ahead.
Awareness. Yeah, I was just going to say back to awareness again, and that, we were very fortunate to be able to get the Institute for the Study of Youth Sports, which is at Michigan State. It's the leading institute in the world that studies the dynamics between parent and coach and athlete. And so they're phenomenal, and they wrote the content for our course, for our parent mental trainer course. And then we, tweaked it and put it into a format that is interesting and holds your attention. It's not that easy to hold the attention of a parent for a couple hours, but this thing does it the way that we've designed it, with short videos and an audio that just guides you right on through, and some little worksheets that automatically print as you go along, So we really try to make it as easy as possible for the parents.
Is that,
you have some feedback.
Is that where Larry Lauer is?
He was. He's now at the USTA down in Florida. But, yeah, Larry was up at Michigan State. Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. So just for my listeners, Larry was on the show last year, and you can go back and listen to my interview with him, but he's actually going to be on the show again next month. So we'll be touching on this topic again. So just want to give you all a heads up. So, go ahead, Tammy.
He's listed on the Paramilitary Trainer as one of the ones that wrote the content for that. So it's pretty powerful. So there was an example that came to mind recently, Bob, where you had a parent that came in with their child and then took the TMT and sent you an email about, oh my gosh, I wish I had had this years ago. And every parent should go through this. Do you recall?
Yeah, I do. And that parent was, very apologetic, and actually had a series of, very positive interactions with her child. It was a mother who, just said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't know what I was doing." And there were lots of tears, as they were kind of reconciling. But the way that she had behaved with her daughter over the years had just kind of put a rift in between, for their relationship. And so that was a kind of a bonding back together again. And that's a pretty cool thing, that a two-hour online course could have that kind of an effect. And that's what we've been hearing from most everybody who goes through it, is that I just didn't know what I was doing. Now I do. Things are going to change.
Well, and that's the thing. And this exact topic is discussed in a lot of different forums, that there needs to be more parent education around youth sports. And to me, I would love to see the governing bodies of each sport take charge of that, whether it's utilizing the tools that you guys have created or coming up with something on their own, which, why reinvent the wheel if something wonderful is already there. But, in terms of tennis, that's really the only sport I can speak to. There's very little available to parents. And one parent commented on I think the article I wrote on Trophy Kids, that, when you go to a tournament with your kid and it's 2 days or 3 days or 5 days, however long it is, there's a ton of downtime while you're waiting in between matches, or maybe there are weather delays. Why not utilize that time and offer educational resources to the kids and the parents? And wouldn't that be great if tournament directors would get together and, make an agreement that, okay, I'm going to offer this piece at my tournament, and now you offer that piece, which is an adjunct at your event, and, as a whole, we're going to get all this information out there to these parents. I mean, it would be phenomenal for us.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I would love for that. But here's the thing, that if you can just – remember that the example that I gave about the parents kind of dragging their kids into the office, and most of the parents have, they kind of sit back and listen, but when they first come in, they're thinking, okay, please fix my kid. This is the energy that they have. And by the time we get done with that initial session, they realize that their kid's not broken, number one, doesn't need to be fixed, and that perhaps there's some things that they're doing that are making things worse. Things that the parents are doing that are making things worse. We never say it. We never say, hey, parents, you're the cause here. But then going forward, after every one of our sessions, we send an email that's a summary email to the athlete, and we copy the parent, and the athlete knows this. And that's the way that we've been educating parents prior to this parent mental trainer, is that we have to do it in this more subtle way. We can't go straight to the parent and say, you need to learn these things, because in the parent's mind, they're fine. It's the kid that's the problem. And I think that would be one barrier that we'd have to get over or get through if at USTA tournaments, there was parent training going on. I think that there would have to be kind of cool and fun and okay to be doing that, because the parents immediately would think, I don't want others to think that there's something wrong with me as a parent.
Right. Well, I'm sure that wiser minds than mine can come up with ways to make that work, but I still feel like you know, given the investment, and I'm not talking just money, but the overall family investment that we make in the name of our kids' success in sports, that it's the responsibility of the governing bodies of the sports themselves to make sure that we are afforded the opportunity to get educated. And, you know, it can't, I don't think, be mandatory, forced down anybody's throat, but I do think it would be really awesome, and I hope there's some tournament directors listening or people that have power with tournament directors listening to offer these types of opportunities for us while we're sitting around waiting for our kid to go on the court. Or even while our kid is playing, maybe some of us don't belong courtside. Maybe we'd be better served in a workshop rather than sitting next to the kid's court and being a stress case. So, you know,
there were two things. Sorry to interrupt. There were two things that came to mind right there. The first one is that we are actually training parents to not just be better parents, but also to learn the same mental skills that their athletes are learning, so they can control their emotions and reduce their stress when they're at the tournaments. And so it becomes a much more enjoyable thing for the parents to be there. And we know that there's always that kind of stress displacement there, that, you know, when parents are all stressed, then athletes tend to be as well. So athletes love it too. And so what we're doing is we're not going at the tournament level at this point, although I'd like to do that in the future to be able to get PMT and maybe some of the other things integrated in, but we've built Parent Mental Trainer into our, what we call our CAP program, which is coaches, athletes, and parents, and that is what we've made available to tennis academies. So now a tennis academy or a tennis club or a program can say, if you want to be part of this program, parent, you need to go through this and you need to complete it. And there's actually a test at the end as well. So they have a little bit more, you know, making it mandatory. That's much more possible at the academy level.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. And it's kind of been one of my gripes over the years is that, you know, and I'm sure you guys hear this when you work with coaches. The coaches hate the parents. The parents get aggravated and frustrated with the coaches. The coaches want the parents to back off and let them do their job, and the parents want the coaches to communicate better and, you know, have more accountability. And so it's like this double-edged.
That's universal. That's
right.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You are so in. I mean, obviously you've been doing this for a couple of years, but you just spoke some truth right there.
Oh, I know. I've written about this, and it's been, you know, on a personal level. I mean, we've experienced it. So I mean, my son's been playing tournaments since he was 9. He's now 17 and a half. So, you know, I have some experience with it as well. But by offering educational opportunities like your course, it solves so many issues right from the get-go. I mean, it just kind of prevents the issues from even coming up at all. And wouldn't
you have to be... It's a vicious...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. It's a vicious cycle. I mean, I'm with Bob. You just spoke it beautifully. That it is a, you know, the coaches and if listening to him coach for years and as a personal, his own personal experience was that it was the parents were oftentimes some of the biggest problems. That we know from a parent's perspective that sometimes the coach is. So it is a very much a triad approach. So with the CAP program, we have the course to teach coaches the latest on mental skills, so they get it. They bring their coaching game up to par, and then you work with the athletes, and then you work with the parents. So it's from all the different points of this triangle, you're all on the same page working toward creating a better human. You're all
right
there for to create better teams and make, and then the life lessons that they get from this program is their grades improve, their social stamina improves, their morality as far as how they are as a human being, their self-awareness and their self-motivated is intrinsic. The shifts that happen as a result of it are phenomenal. So when we talk about getting into these large tennis programs where they make it mandatory, everybody wins. It's a win-win for everybody that's involved. Pretty amazing.
Well, and I think, you know, one selling point for coaches, if you're listening out there, coaches, is it shows your commitment to the whole person, not just the tennis side. And I think for a lot of parents, we're looking for coaches that are committed to the development of our children as whole people, not just the tennis part. Because let's face it, I mean, if they're training 3, 4, 5 hours a day with their coach, they're having much more intimate interaction with that coach than they are with their own parents a lot of the time. And so I think it's really important, you know, that we as parents choose coaches that can help develop our kids as good people, not just good tennis players.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, by utilizing a tool like your program, to me, that's a huge banner of, you know, I'm committed as the coach to your child and to you as a family. I'm not just in it for a buck. And I think that's a big message. So anyway, that said, well, we're down to our last few minutes. So I don't know if there's anything specific that we haven't touched on that you guys would like to talk about, but if parents or coaches or players are interested in learning more about your training, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can go to parentmentaltrainer.com. So there's an actual website just for this particular course for parents. And they can, you know, purchase it right there. It's also, as we said, available as part of the CAP program. And so coaches and administrators can contact us by going to mentaltraininginc.com and just reaching out to us. And we can send information and, you know, answer whatever questions that you would have about how to integrate this into your academy program. And then we also have the mental app, which is it's a mobile phone app that actually connects the coach and the athlete together and enables mental toughness to be developed because you know how teenagers are. I mean, they, you know, they're not necessarily always going to follow through with what's best for them, and so to be accountable to somebody else, to be accountable to coaches and parents is certainly our model to making sure that these kind of habits are actually developed. And so since teenagers do most everything on their phone, then that's where we are now too with this app.
And so the coaching is done through the website, through videos that are online or lesson plans that are online. It's not actual face-to-face coaching, correct?
Yeah, in this case, for mental app, yeah, we've taken kind of the best of what we do across the desk, working one-on-one, and we've created short videos, and those videos stream onto the phone, so you can, you know, so you can watch it kind of live streaming on the phone, and then there's a monitoring chart that where as you put your data in, it flows right to the cloud, and that's how the coaches and parents can, you know, connect into that information so they can oversee the development of their kids' mental toughness.
I love it.
So the coach can see, yeah, the coach can see the entire team at a glance, or they can drill down to the individual players and also communicate giving messages to the entire team. For instance, give this many reps on this whatever by Friday or whatever it is notes they can communicate. And so it's oversight. It's just one more way to hold the team and the individual player accountable.
And so a coach can sign up to do that for their whole group, their training group.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. Very cool. All right, well, I'm going to be sending you an email later today. But you need to reach out to. well, I wanted to say again, thank you all so much for being on. I've learned a lot today, and for me, as the parent of a teenager, it's always helpful to talk to other parents of teens who are kind of going through the same experiences, but also, Bob, to have your experience as, you know, a former junior player, a professional player, and someone who learned some of these hard lessons at a little later age, it's nice to know there's hope out there for our kids, too, that if they don't have it by 17, they might have it by 18, or maybe not till they're 25, but eventually they're going to have it. So thank you again. Have a great week, everybody. We've got another Sunday. One of my fellow Blog Talk Radio hosts is going to be my guest, so hopefully you'll join us next Monday at noon. In the meantime, have a great week. Have fun on the courts.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.